Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 155 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today is another solo episode, but this is the last in my run of Solo Wednesdays. As of next week, we are going back to having it as our interview episode of the week. Basically, it's just sometimes it takes a little while to line these things up, and where I've been so busy at my sort of day job and with Christmas and everything, it's just been a case that nothing's really panned out. Everything's been put back or postponed or cancelled. And the last few weeks, it just hasn't really worked out. But I've got a ridiculous number of podcast guests lined up over the coming weeks. We've got a forest guide. We've got someone coming on to talk all about land access and some different schemes to get access to regenerative agriculture. We've got a worm expert. We've got an author coming on to talk about a foraging book, which comes out in the spring. And there's going to be a copy of the book given away on the show as well. We've got someone else coming on to talk about managing woodland. And we have the host of the Regenerative Livelihoods podcast also coming on as a guest. So these are all lined up for the coming weeks, and certainly within the next few days I'll have the first of those recorded. So as of next Wednesday, we will be going back to Wednesdays being our interview session of the week. So forgive this extra solo episode, the third one in a row, I believe, for a Wednesday, which is very unusual, and it won't be happening again for quite some time. Anyway, that's that out the way. Today is an oddments episode, and as regular listeners will be aware, an oddments episode is one where I just shoot all over the place and talk about all sorts of little tiny things that don't really demand their own episode. A large portion of oddments episodes are given to talking about the things that I've been up to here at my homestead. So one of the things that I wanted to say is those of you who have gourds that you've saved, if you've got some butternut squash or pumpkins or anything like that, you mustn't forget to just check on them from time to time. Now, I'm always advocating the amazing preservation qualities of gourds. When you've grown a load of butternut squash or pumpkins, one of the most amazing things about them is that they are the easiest vegetable to preserve, because you literally just pop them somewhere out the way where it's not too hot, not too cool, and they will sit there quite happily for months. Well, we harvested ours, I'm not sure when, probably back in October or possibly even early November, but we harvested ours quite some time ago, and they've all been sat quite happily, most of them on a windowsill in my office, actually. Anyway, because of this super cold weather that we've been having, we've had our central heating on a little bit more than usual, and I noticed that we had one particularly large pumpkin that we've had saved, and it was just hanging over the edge of the windowsill with a radiator just below it, and I've lost half of it to rot. And if I hadn't, just by happenstance, gone to check it, it would have certainly set through the whole thing. So on the front, it was just soft, and then when I cut it open, it had sort of turned a little bit black. That rot had set in. It got right the way across half of the pumpkin, so it doesn't take long. So if you do have gourds that you've got that you're preserving from the autumn, just do make a point periodically to go and just check on them, because the other thing to bear in mind, if you do get a little bit of rot in one, it will quickly spread to all the others that it's touching. So fortunately, I only lost half a pumpkin, but if I hadn't checked, then I would also have lost quite a few butternut squash and another pumpkin. So there you go. As it happened, I managed to save half a pumpkin, which gave me 2 kilograms of the flesh, which I didn't really have a use for right there and then. Those of you who have been listening for a little while will probably know that I cook in sort of big sittings, in big gluts. So we already had a freezer full of food already for the week ahead. a fridge ready of meals, homemade meals that I'd already prepared at the weekend. And if I'm honest, there was probably a little bit too much for us to get through. So it was no use me just making some more food for us to eat right then. So I had to basically cut 1 kilogram of it up into chunks, and I froze that in 2 bags, each of them marked at 500 grams. So I know what they are in the freezer. And the other kilogram I cooked today, and tomorrow I'm going to turn into a hummus, into a pumpkin hummus with some chickpeas and garlic and some, I'm going to use sesame oil as well. So that's the plan. So it was like an emergency pumpkin rescue. So take this as your reminder to check your gourds. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. We have our baby goat stew in just a few weeks, so it's really exciting times here. We are on heavy clay, as I mentioned, a great deal, and we struggle with the ground, as I mentioned, a great deal. But this winter, we went into it with a plan, and it's not been perfect, but it's been certainly a lot better than last year, how we've managed the land. We've just been really conscious of managing it through the weather. We have opened up more ground at a time for our animals. So the goats are on a larger piece of pasture than they were on through most of last winter. The same applies for our hens. And we've just been really cognizant of what we're doing, and with a view to it being in keeping with our winter plan all the way through. So what that means is now, with about 3 weeks till we could expect our first kids, we've got our smaller paddock. We've got 2 paddocks, a large one and a small one, but our smaller paddock has been untouched for several months, and we managed to reseed it just before the frost came, so the grass all took nicely and it's looking great, really lush. So that's ready to receive our goats just before they kid. We'll probably leave them in there top paddock, in the big paddock, for another couple of weeks, and then just 1 week before they're due to kid, we might move them down and make them nice and comfortable in the bottom paddock, so they can kid down there on some lovely lush grass and not have the mud to cope with that is starting now to accumulate in a few areas. So that means that, let me think, if they're going to kid in 3 weeks, then I'm probably going to start milking in about 6 or 7 weeks. So how I start milking, and you can expect an episode on this in the next couple of months. I'll talk in much greater detail, but there's a few ways that you can start milking goats if you are going to do so. The two sort of main ways that people do it is they would either just have the goat kids, run with their mum, and then on a certain day they would just wean them, sort of almost overnight, wean them off and take over the milking that following day. Or some people remove the kids almost at birth and bottle feed the kids and start milking straight away. Obviously, if you're going to do that, you need to make sure that the kids have had colostrum, which is the really important part of their diet in that first bit of milk that they get from mum. And neither of those options are particularly appealing to me. So what we tend to do is we leave the goats alone for the first couple of weeks. And then when the kids first start showing an interest, any interest at all, in sort of solid food, we just add our milking. And we start by taking a very, very small amount of milk from each of the mums and just get everybody used to it, so that the mums are still feeding the kids and we're also taking a tiny little bit as well. So the goats bodies just naturally react and start producing that little bit more. And then we start moving to a system where we're taking, you know, a full amount at least once a day. And we just kind of gradually phase in the amount that we're taking and gradually phase out the amount the kids are taking. And we manage that process of phasing out what the kids are taking in a number of different ways. Again, I'll go into a bit more detail in a dedicated episode, but it's really based on all sorts of different things, and decisions are made, you know, on a near daily basis. We can separate the kids from the mums for just a few hours, or, you know, it really does depend on the nature of the kids. Anyway, once we start milking, we have an abundance of milk, and we're going to be using that to make predominantly cheese is the main thing that I look forward to having the goat's milk for. But we're also this year going to make a more concerted effort to make things like butter, ice cream, cream and soaps. Now, in September, as most of you will know, I am going to attempt to go the entire month living off things that we have produced. So I'm not going to eat anything that I have bought. And I'm still determining the really fine lines of the rules on this. For instance, things like salt. I'm thinking that I'm probably going to make some sea salt for myself before the time comes. But, you know, there might be a few areas where the rules are a little bit grey and I need to sort of define them. But one of the rules that I have made fairly clear already is that I'm not going to purchase anything. There are going to be no cash transactions. I will be hopefully bartering some eggs for some flour to allow me to have things like sourdough. But that's why I'm going to also really focus on upping my milk game, or the milk byproducts game. You know, I want to have a nice amount of things like cheese and butter and ice cream and things all ready for September for sure. Find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel, we also have our website, and now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out. So everybody's different, and this, you know, might just be me, but one of the things that for me is integral, is huge to my whole homesteading adventure, is the milking of the goats and the products that that produces, because I feel like it's a whole category of produce, you know, dairy, it's a whole category. Like I say, I've already mentioned the cheeses and the butters and the creams and the ice cream and the yogurt. But something I haven't done before, but I will certainly be doing this year, is soap making. And we're going to make some goat's milk soap. We're going to make a fair amount of it, I suspect, because I've got lots and lots of thoughts about how we're going to use it. Now, of course, we can use it ourselves, but also it will become birthday and Christmas gifts. We're also probably going to try and sell some at the side of the road, and I'm sure that's going to go quite well. We've got a little egg shop there, as regular listeners will know, and we sell all sorts of things there, like seedlings and produce that we have surplus in the autumn and summer. But I think some goat's milk soap might go really well out there. But there's also another outlet I have for it. So our local town, or one of our local towns, has a really good community there, and a really dedicated community that are really working quite hard to try and drive some local events. And one of the things they're doing is this ongoing sort of monthly workshop themed fair, if you like. And they're very, very keen to have me involved. And they are probably going to start in April, and there'll be one a month, and they'd like me to do a different workshop every month. Now, April isn't the perfect time for me to be doing a lot of the workshops I do. It's not the best time to talk about mushroom foraging. It's not the best time to talk about preserving. But one of the things that I'm thinking I'm going to be doing at this first one is some soap making with some goat's milk soap. Obviously, I need to get some practice in first, but that doesn't scare me. I'm quite happy doing that. So hopefully come April I'll be running some goat milk soap making workshops in our local town. And hopefully from that, you know, that will spill into some other bits and bobs that run off down the line. I love the idea of, you know, whenever we get a product within our home and it's something we've genuinely sourced from scratch and we can sort of trace that back several elements, it just makes me feel great. So when I talk about tracing something back several elements, I mean, this can be as simple as growing some tomatoes in your garden, you know, and if you can trace back that the compost that you fed the plants has come from compost you've made, and that compost you've made from cuttings of your hedges and the leftovers from other plants that you've already harvested and the manure from your hens, you know, that just, it's just going back that extra step. And then you can go back further and further and further. You know, if the manure that you got from your hens also came from things that you fed the hens that you grew yourself, if the tomato seeds were ones that you've saved from a previous year, and if that year they were grown from seeds you saved from a year before that, you know, the number of steps you can go back, every single one of them just gives me this incredible sense of accomplishment and achievement. And we shouldn't take that lightly. All of us, I think, sometimes run the danger of not appreciating how big a deal it is to be doing all the little things we're doing and to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. So you don't have to be running the biggest polytunnel in the world to be able to trace back several steps in your produce. And when you put something on the plate and, you know, things like, if I have something like cheese on some crackers that I've made myself, and I've made the cheese myself, and I've made the cheese from milk that I've milked myself from my goats, and if I've bred those goats myself, and if I've fed the goats from feed that I've produced at home, you know, all of these steps are just incredible and really fulfilling to me. And I just get so much out of it. You know, that really is where the reward is. And it doesn't have to stop with food. You know, everything we do, if we've got it in us to just think, you know, I wonder if I could make that myself. And soap is a great example. Now, as I say, I've not made it before. There is a video on my YouTube channel where Alan from Urban Homesteading UK podcast kindly put together a video of soap making for me. And, you know, he says himself, it is a really, really simple process. You need a little bit of patience and a little bit of care, but, you know, it's not rocket science. And doing all these things from scratch is just what fills me with joy. And it's twofold. It's more than that, actually. It's more than twofold. There are several facets to it. You know, it's that sense of knowledge, that of knowing how something works. That's one step that is really fulfilling. But then it's a sense of, you know, you knowing how to do it. You knowing that if push came to shove, you could take care of that need in your household ad infinitum, you know. And I just think that, coupled with sometimes, you know, it's really money saving. Sometimes you get the benefit of just knowing what you're putting in your body and knowing that that's, you know, what you want to be eating, what you want to be feeding your kids. It's also all the benefits of the actual physical exercise that you're getting doing these things, you know. Couple that with the other benefits that shouldn't be neglected, insofar as sustainability and just our ability to tread lightly on this earth, and there are just so many wins available when you put something like a bar of soap on your sink that you've made yourself, or a piece of cheese that you've made yourself, on a cracker that you've made yourself, or when you do harvest that tomato in the middle of the summer and you taste it fresh off the vine. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self Sufficient Hub group and the Self Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. So So I have decided this year to extend our vegetable bed. So our vegetable plot is probably about big enough to just about provide all the vegetables required for a family of five. But to do that, I have to kind of manage it, not, I wouldn't say intensively manage it, but, you know, I can't afford to let too many opportunities go. So we're going to extend it for a couple of reasons, because firstly, obviously, it would be amazing to be able to grow more and be able to sell that produce at the side of the road or just have it as surplus so that we get a bit of a buffer, but also so that I don't need to really get every ounce of productivity from every bit of the bed. You know, I can afford to relax a little bit about how I manage it. So I've decided to increase it. Plus, you know, we've got so much spare wasted grass, it just made sense to turn a piece of effectively unused ground into a better utilized bit of space. So as a result, we're going to increase it by using the, you know, the regular no-dig bed method. We're going to put some cardboard down to kill the weeds, the grass basically, and we're just going to put some compost on top. Now, we produce all of our own compost pretty much, but we didn't have enough to do this. So I've bought some in, and I bought it from our local recycling centre, and I was actually quite surprised. It was £40 for a ton delivered. So I was able to get 4 ton delivered, and I just think it's a great value thing. If you've got the space and you need it, you know, it's probably much better than buying it for the garden centre. Now, that does, of course, mean that you need the space that they can roll up in a little transit van and tip it off, and you might not have that in your small gardens. But they also sell regular sized compost bags. They had 40 litre bags, and it was 3 for a tenner, which again I thought was just great value. And supporting the local recycling, I thought, was also something I wanted to do. So I do urge you, if you are looking for compost, to check out your local recycling centre first. Now, of course, it will vary around the country and no doubt around the world, but most recycling centres are doing something similar to this, if it's not exactly the same as mine. So we've already planted our first seeds ready to go in, and I've made some slate seed markers, and you can make them for free. They're really, really easy. I've got a video that got released yesterday on YouTube all about how to make them. So you must go and check that out if you haven't already. Finally, the last thing on today's list, I'm going through a little checklist in front of me, and that is to thank our latest Patreon subscriber, and that is Richard Ellis. Richard very kindly sent me a little email as well, and I'll just read that out now. Hi Carl, I just joined your Patreon as I enjoy your podcast enough to pay for it. I know it takes a lot of work, and even $5 a month can't buy you a pint. I guess it's the thought that counts. Keep up the good work, and I think I've listened to every episode. I'm not a homesteader, don't have a farm, and at 60 years old really doubt if I will, as land in my area is $150,000 an acre forested and $300,000 cleared. It's more for growing houses than produce. I do have a small vegetable garden in our tiny postage stamp backyard at our townhouse. As I live in Charleston, South Carolina, growing anything other than weeds is a challenge with our 100% humidity and brutal summers. I usually eke out okay tomatoes, peppers and basil, and I usually get some bananas as well. But we had an early cold spell this fall. I'm a big fan of goats and chickens, so keep up the livestock episodes. Thanks for your podcast, and keep it up. Cheers. Well, thank you ever so much, Richard. And as always, I genuinely am touched whenever I see that someone else has made the decision to sign up as a patron, because, you know, these things are optional. And I just, you know, this podcast isn't always going to be available for free. And my goal is to disseminate this information and share my journey with as many people as possible. But when someone thinks that the work I'm doing here is valuable enough to sign up on Patreon, you know, it really does touch me and makes a huge difference. So thank you so much. And of course, you all know how to do the same now if you want to be the same as Richard. That is, just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. And however you support the show, as always, you know, I genuinely do appreciate it. As we are now heading towards the end of February, I am bringing on Friday an episode on the hunger gap. The hunger gap is that bit of spring when there's very little produce to be harvested. And we're going to be talking all about that and how we might plan for that and reduce its effects if we're looking to be a little bit more self-sufficient. So thank you guys for listening. And please do tell someone about the show. And I will speak to you on Friday. Cheers. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.